When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Ogos, I'm us. Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It's your motherfucking boy, Steve Crothy.
And I'm Halls Burkhart.
Buddy. Can I take a second?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
All you need is love. Da, 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 da. All you need is love. Da, 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 da. Boy, what a day for Green Bay Packer fans. We
got into
the playoffs, and I'm sorry, Josh Hargis, but we did it through your Chicago Bears 2-0 against them this year.
Man, that boy's got deep roots with the Bears. He can take it.
Yeah, he's a good fan, man, for real. Like he's with them through their ups and downs. I love it. But yeah, into the playoffs, and you and I were talking in the green room before we recorded.
Mm-hmm. Before we came out on stage.
There's a certain other motherfucker who cannot say that he's in the playoffs this year.
Man, that guy, Aaron Rodgers, by the way, I don't give a fuck. I'll just straight up say his name.
Say it.
Yeah. He had, like, do you know how close I was to just saying, all right, I'm a Packers fan now, right? He was dating a celebrity crush of mine, Shailene Woodley, and Olivia Munn. And he's was a Star Wars guy, right? And I was like, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is when I finally have an NFL team. I'll just saddle up with my buddy Steve, you know? Huh? But, boy, he sure torpedoed all that.
A few years ago, yeah.
You know he's furiously looking through those fucking flight logs, just hoping there's a Jimmy in there somewhere. You know?
Better be careful. He's going to get sued.
Yeah, he should. And by the way, like, so I'm going to say this with peace and love, because, you know, I'm not really a sports guy. Like,
yeah,
a professional sports guy, at least, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know shit about Pat McAfee, but he seems like a giant douche, too. You know what I mean? He fucking encourages all this shit from Aaron Rodgers. And then when it's like, uh-oh, somebody might get sued, he's like, yeah, I don't agree with that. Then you should have fucking said it on your show. If Steve said that fucking was on the Epstein flight logs, I'd be like, possibly, but probably not. And I hate that dude.
Damn. Nice. I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't either, to be honest, buddy. It just kind of happened.
That was brilliant.
Shoo.
Gulping sea monkeys.
You were the straw that time, for sure.
My tummy feel crazy.
Oh, man. We missed you last night, man. Nick showed up for a little bit. We did end up. He jumped in, filled your spot in Tiny Tina. We
missed Nick.
Yeah.
He said
he hopes you're feeling better.
Well, I appreciate
that.
He'll
be around next weekend.
Oh, man. You know what? But it's all right, because just in a couple of weeks, I get to see Nick and Steve and Will. Man.
The descent on Birmingham.
All we need is Jeff. Jeff, jump it. Because I know you're listening to the episode. You always throw me a little acknowledgement, right? Just jump in the truck and head to Birmingham for that weekend, buddy. Come on. Come on.
It's a long drive, but...
Yeah. Worth
yeah,
it.
Be worth it.
Man, that man did several long drives over the summer when they were moving. I know he's got it in him.
Yeah.
So, buddy, we don't have anything specific to go over today. Like, it's not a themed episode, but, you and I have been putting some serious time into a couple of games separately, so I figured we'd have like maybe a little mini discussion about those games. We got some emails. We got an email and a Florian HK 47 voicemail. And I got a bananas ass Final Fantasy VII story to share with the crowd. Steve got to hear it on stream, but
this is a great story.
Okay. So buddy, why don't we got stuff, you know, right?
We got
shit to get going. All right. Let's hear from Florian first.
Okay.
This happens every time where I think it's
greetings,
not...
Greetings, meatbags. Query. If you found yourself in a zombie apocalypse game, which character from another game would you choose as your partner? Answer. Who else? But myself, of course. The only logical choice, given my exceptional abilities and undeniable charm. Statement. My companionship would not only be logical, but a matter of sheer necessity in the face of such inferior life forms. But I shall entertain the thought of other, lesser options, just for the sake of variety.
Okay, so zombie apocalypse partner?
Yeah, so if you found yourself in a zombie apocalypse, what video game character would you want as your partner?
Okay, so if we're going realistic here,
mm-hmm.
the most experienced person would be Ellie from The Last of Us, in my opinion.
She would hate me, Steve. Fuck, Ellie would hate me. She just would not like me at all. And I think she's so cool. I'd be like, hey, Ellie, have you ever heard Tool? And she'd be like, shut up, Halls.
No,
yes.
Man. I'd teach her how to play some sweet licks, and then it'd be all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you guys would probably get along great. There's just certain people or characters you see where I see them and I go, oh, I'd get along with that character. Like, I think I would get along with Ichiban from Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon. Kiryu, probably. Majima, I don't... Probably not, man. I'm probably too tame for that dude.
Either one of those dudes would be good. Like, Majima would, like, act like he's with the zombies here and there,
oh,
too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he'd be going undercover and shit. You know, honestly, if it's a zombie apocalypse in the real world, right? My time is limited. Let's just be honest. Meals, as Will likes to say, meals on wheels, right? So I'm just, listen, I'm inviting Tifa to reality and yeah. I'm shooting my shot. I know I would annoy her. She'd be like, you want me to make you a drink? I could be, just have a diet soda pop. Is that cool?
She's too polite. She'd be nice to you. Yeah, if we're going like out of the realm of whatever, I'm taking Sekiro because that dude would just chop up all the zombies into mincemeat easily.
So. Imagine bringing poor fucking Megan Man. Into that reality, you know, Dr. Wily, that shit is, you know, shit gets pretty weird over there, but this is a whole different ball game. Bring this robot boy with his big gun arm and be like,
hey. This reminds me of what y'all were talking about on Blue Harvest this week where you guys were talking about the kaiju pets.
Yeah.
And you were thinking it was a giant full-size
kaiju. I'm an idiot, bro. Bro, I am such an... I was like... This is such an odd question, because how the hell am I going to keep a 4-story tall Mecha Godzilla as a pet? But no, Will, of course, Will was like, come on, man, think logically here. It would be dog or cat sized, which is makes a whole different question that's way more fun to fuck around with anyway. Yeah, and then why? I think, can I share a little secret time with you, Steve?
Of course.
I think Will doesn't really like dogs and cats.
Huh.
He immediately went to, I guess I have to round up dogs and cats to feed to my Godzilla. Like, I don't know, man. I think there could be other things on the menu.
Yeah. Like, I would find some humans before I fed dogs
and
cats.
Oh, I could think of at least one, and they'd be eating good for a little while. He probably wasn't on the flight logs, though.
That might be somebody to take into the zombie apocalypse with you, so you could just drop kick them into a big pile of zombies at the first.
Yeah, and I probably have like a good 2 weeks head start the way they'd be eating good in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? I'd get all the way to Atlanta to the CDC. That's the end of season one right there. Whew, I'm all over the place. I need to rein this in. I might need to blank out at least the quote unquote last name at the beginning of that. We'll make a note of that. All right.
Throw down a marker.
I mean, honestly, video game characters for the most part, like, okay, Sonic the Hedgehog ain't doing shit in the zombie apocalypse, right? What's he gonna do?
He's just gonna
run away real fast.
Be like, wait, Sonic.
Sonic, bro, I can't.
Getting eaten.
Maybe I could hook like a little harness to him and it would be like a chariot. My chair with Sonic pulling me.
If you're doing that, you should just go with Yoshi, you know?
Oh, man. At least Yoshi would be like, I'd be like, Sonic, listen, man, I respect the bits, but even I don't know if this is a time to do bits.
Mm-hmm. You know, Millennia Blade of Mikula.
Oh, my God.
Also probably a good choice.
You want to talk about someone that I would certainly annoy. What do I have to offer Millennia Blade of Mikula? Hey, I think you're real cool. You want to hit those guys with waterfowl dance or whatever that fucking evil shit is called?
I just turn around and she's waterfowl dancing you.
Yeah. Hey, when we get some free time, do you want to play the Final Fantasy card game? That'd be fun. Huh? You ever seen Lost? Huh?
You got some Final Fantasy cards.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second because we got an email after this.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think my honest answer is Tifa, just because why not? It's I mean, my time is limited. It's the minute the zombie apocalypse hits, it's a countdown clock until there's some zombies eating me, like that scene in the first Gremlins movie when he accidentally gives the Gremlins chicken wings after midnight.
Oops.
That would be like.
That was a mistake right there.
Yep. Yep. Next thing you know, you're microwaving Gremlins. All right. Let's go to our email. It's from Bully Wesley. Hey, guys. It's been a while since I've written in, but I haven't missed a single episode. Y'all are fantastic. Hope your 2024 is off to a great start. Prepare your loud voice halls. I got a little update for you. You think I just do that on command? Wesley, Wesley, you showing up bullying me on my own show? After much trial and tribulation, I am the proud owner of a PS5.
Oh, snap.
I finally decided enough was enough, sold my entire Game Boy Advance and DS collection for the money, and marched into GameStop for my prize. I think I liked the idea of the collection more than I actually played it, so that was a good opportunity to trade old cherished memories for the chance at making some new ones. I'm already off to a good start with the memories because the first thing I did was buy the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Plus Remake bundle and dove in headfirst. I've been playing Remake every day since, and I absolutely love it. It feels like a long time coming, and I'm just in time for Rebirth, which is crazy. Brian and I have been cheesing it up and annoying everyone in the Sacred Icon Discord with all our hype. All aboard the hype train. There ain't no getting off this train we're on. Oh, and my wife and I are expecting baby boy number... My wife! Are expecting baby boy number two in March. So I'll be dual-wielding a baby and a PS5 controller. Should be a good year. Peace and love, Wesley. P.S. Sorry about the Alabama loss, Steve. I'm a Longhorns fan, so I know how you feel. That said, go Michigan. All right.
Eh. Congrats on the baby, man. And also the PS5. I love my PS5.
Wesley, so if you've been playing it every day, you've probably gotten to the point where Cloud and Barrett passionately tongue kiss. I bet you weren't expecting that change from the original, were you? I couldn't believe it. I left it paused on that screen for a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, taking it their own way. It's not exactly a straight up remake.
No, you got to add a little spice on top.
Yep.
I know that dude's been wanting to play that game for quite a while now.
Yeah, how did you feel about the trading in the Game Boy Advance and DS collection?
You know, I get it. You know, I don't know because Game Boy Advance and DS aren't my forte as far as like stuff I look up, right? So I don't know how expensive or collectible that stuff is. I have to imagine there's some Game Boy Advance stuff that's pretty collectible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't, you know, if I'm trying to think, do I, like, I don't know that I even have a collection. I guess I could maybe sell off my PlayStation 1 collection of games to get a console, because I've got a couple of expensive games in there. The Lunar games on PlayStation are pretty pricey, relatively so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really have an old collection. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a retro collection, really. Which I think you would consider Game Boy Advance, at least. DS.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. What was the handheld system you had back in the day that when I knew it was a DS, probably.
So
when
I
played
have
the Final Fantasy remaster, or like the six. Four remasters.
So I have a 3DS. I still have my 3DS, and I have a small collection of 3DS games, and every single one of them is a JRPG. Mm-hmm. Like, there was this weird time when there wasn't a lot of JRPG stuff on consoles, especially if you didn't have a PlayStation, which I didn't at the time. But on the handheld side of things, they were all over the place. So I was getting my JRPGs fix on the DS, 3DS for a little while. I still have it.
Plus, now, like, you're gonna be getting your RPG fix on the big shit this year.
Oh my god, dude! It's the year of the JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them are actually turn-based. Steve. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know how I threw out a bunch of predictions on the latest Blue Harvest, right? Mm-hmm. And Will was like, you're crazy. You ready, Steve? The next mainline Final Fantasy game will be turn-based. That's my prediction. Because we're seeing it come back around with hugely popular, well-reviewed games. I think they're gonna do it sooner rather than later. That's my prediction.
I hope you're right. It would be very interesting.
So, speaking of Final Fantasy, I have a bit of a Final Fantasy story. So, I started getting, like, my algorithm is like fucking Schwarzenegger in the Terminator. It knows exactly what to send my way. You know, I have that thing highly trained. It's got a sharp edge on it. It's like, all right, we start the day off with some animal videos and some booger cringe memes. Let's get those reels sent. Oh, now you're on Facebook? How about you want to see people in your area selling shit you're super interested in? Most of the time, just swipe away. You know what I mean? And one day, last week, actually it was the weekend before this weekend, right? I see a listing for a collection of Final Fantasy, the trading card game merchandise. Now, Final Fantasy has a, you know, a trading card game like Magic or whatever the fuck, right? That's been going since like 2017, I think. And it's been one of those things I've always given the side eye and go like, is it time to get into that? Because Steve, I'll tell you, buddy, the reason I don't mind buying outfits and shit in games is because of Magic the Gathering and Decipher Star Wars trading card packs. I love that thrill of opening that pack, baby, seeing what I got. Let's get something fancy, right?
Get that dopamine rush.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the thing that really fucked with me, though, Steve, was that the collection of this stuff was all Final Fantasy VII themed, right? Because that card game covers every single Final Fantasy game. A lot of times they'll have expansions specifically geared to a certain game. Like, I guess the newest one is themed around Final Fantasy Stranger in Paradise. Oh. So, you know, chaos or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although I bet you the next one will probably be Final Fantasy 16. And spoiler alert, I am now into the Final Fantasy trading card game. So maybe I'll get into that. And, like, you know, we're talking like starter decks. There's a boss deck for Sephiroth. There's a bunch of sealed booster boxes that all have Final Fantasy VII artwork on them. and it immediately started haunting my dreams, right? And I remember telling Steve about it on Discord, maybe even on stream. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it. And then what I didn't realize is Facebook Marketplace, if you look at something, they'll tell you in a couple of days if that person drops the price. Have you ever seen that happen, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. They're like, hey, this guy just dropped these Final Fantasy cards by $25. I said, oh, no. Why would you tell me that? So long story short, I set up to meet this guy at 7:40 on Friday evening in the Target parking lot, the Target closest to my house. That gives me 10 minutes to get off work, get upstairs, jump in the car, go buy these Final Fantasy cards, and hope it is a smooth and awkward-free transaction. It was not. So I get there, and like, Steve, you know, I'm like, if I'm with my friends, man, I love hanging out. I'll chat. I'm not super awkward all the time. If I don't know people, or if I'm in a room full of people I don't know, socially awkward. If it's some weird neckbeard who's selling Final Fantasy cards on the internet, I get real awkward real quick.
Yeah, so it's too bad you couldn't have waited until we were in town.
Oh yeah, so I could roll up there with my homies. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You felt a lot better about it.
You know, there, and also I won't lie, there's always that thought in the back of my head of like, well, I hope I don't get stabbed. You know,
right?
I know you've sold stuff on Marketplace. I sold stuff on Facebook Marketplace. Never once got stabbed. But still, you know, a little nervous.
I'm going to get stabbed, yeah.
I show up, and this dude comes out, and he's wearing a trench coat.
Mm-hmm. Edgy.
Yeah, like that kind of trench coat, right? He's not like a detective, right? He's not a gumshoe. This isn't a noir movie. This is a, you know, I identify with a couple of dudes from Columbine type of fucking trench coat. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, he might all, besides collecting Final Fantasy stuff, he might collect guns. All right. Oh. And I roll my window down. He's like, hey, are you Richard? And I go, yep, that's me. And he's like, awesome. I've got the cards in my car. He's like, do you play the Final Fantasy card game? And I go, no, this is actually, you know, me getting into it. I'm excited about the Star Wars one that's coming, and I play a little Magic. And then Steve, he says to me, you're a Star Wars guy? I don't want to be in this conversation, right? I just want to go home, go down into my little goblin cave and play video games with my friends. Like, I just want to pay this guy for his Final Fantasy cards and go home.
I feel this way about, like, Uber. Like, yeah. I just want to get in the car and then dick off on my phone and get out. I don't really need to converse with the driver the entire time I'm in the car. You know what I mean?
I have had decent Uber rides where I did talk to the person, right?
It can be fine, but sometimes I just want to get in there and not. Yeah.
Well, dude, social. One time I went to see the Foo Fighters here in Birmingham. And so I got an Uber there and an Uber back, because an Uber from my old house to the BJCC was like, that's a quick Uber drive, right? Mm-hmm. And on the way back to my house from BJCC, this guy just lectured me on why I should have ordered an Uber X because I was in a wheelchair.
Nice.
I was like, awesome. Thanks, man. This is helpful. Anyways, he goes, so you're a Star Wars guy? And I go, yeah, I'm a pretty good Star Wars guy.
This is the guy you bought the Final Fantasy cards from, not the Uber driver.
Not the Uber driver. Sorry. Yeah. I'm getting way off track. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a Star Wars guy. And he goes, what do you think about the new stuff? I just want to go home. So I just say, what I always say is, I like them. I like those. And he goes, yeah, I don't know about the whole agenda they're trying to push. Skirt.
Oh boy.
Hey man, can I just get your Venmo? I just want to go home, please. And because when someone asks you, this is why I don't leave the house. Hold on, Steve. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. No, man. We got to have a little musical break so I can compose myself. Telling the story. This is the second time I've told the story, and it makes me awkward telling the story. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, because anytime a dude asks you what you think of Star Wars, and then follows it up in their follow-up statement has the word agenda in it. It means one of a couple of things, right? Typically, it means, hey, I don't see why gay people should be able to live happily and freely like everybody else. Or maybe it means, I don't think there should be black people in space. Or maybe it means, I hate ladies. Anytime you hear somebody say the word agenda with Star Wars, it's not positive, right? So I'm like, yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me. I actually agree with all of it. You know, I like Star Wars. That's what I always say as like the way I want to get out of this conversation is I like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, well, do you want to come to my car and check out the cards? And I'm like, I'm in a wheelchair. If you just bring them over, I'll check them out here. And so he brings them over in a shopping bag, right? And I'm looking, I was like, yeah, it all looks here. It looks like it's in good condition. He goes, do you like Final Fantasy VII? And I go, yeah, it's my favorite game of all time. And he goes, me too. Final Fantasy VII changed me. Just give me your Venmo. Come on. Just give me your Venmo, man. Please. Please.
Oh, my goodness.
Just give me your
This is the danger when you buy shit off
and I'm like, the internet. And I was like, that's cool. Yeah, it's my favorite game of all time. I just repeat myself because I'm awkward. And he goes, who's your favorite character? And I, Steve, you also know this about me, but in situations like this, I could just fucking self-preserve and be like, oh, Cloud or Sephiroth, right? Mm-hmm. But no, because I just answer honestly. I go, Tifa. And he goes, fuck yeah, brother. Mine too. Mm-hmm. Can I get your Venmo like right now, please? Please. And so finally, I send him the money and he's like, hey, man, thanks. I was like, yeah, thanks, man. And he's like, well, I've got a bunch of other boosters I'm thinking about letting go. So I'll send you a message if I decide to. And I was like, cool. Yeah, you definitely do that. And then I watch him get into his Bronco and start backing up. And I go on Facebook and immediately block him. Yeah, I don't care about your boosters, bro. I'm going elsewhere for my Final Fantasy card game product.
So brilliant, dude. Oh, man. So that was entertaining. I'm glad you came out alive.
I am too.
Not too.
I'll be honest.
Infected with the neck beard.
As soon as it happened, as soon as he pulled away, I rolled my window back down. I was like, I'll smoke a cigarette. Holy fuck. Driving back home, going, well, at least this makes a good story for High Potion. And then I was like, so I can't tell Steve. I'll just save it for the show. But I couldn't. As soon as you jumped in on Discord Friday night, I was like, fuck, I got to tell you something.
That's fantastic.
So I have a whole bunch of unopened Final Fantasy trading card game stuff on my kitchen table that every time I was doing stuff today, I would stop and look at it.
And should unbox it on stream.
I might do that. Maybe we should do that when you're here.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll say this though, Steve. I ain't going to expect you, because it's a lot. I sent you a picture of it. It's quite a lot. I ain't going to expect you to sit there for hours and open card packs.
Do a couple, you know?
Yeah.
In my hobby news, I actually made my first actual Warhammer purchase of my own.
What did you get?
Do you want to look it up?
Oh, please. Do I want to look it up?
I found a rare box. Look up Exalted of the Red Angel.
Exalted of the Red Angel. Oh, my Lord. What is this?
These are the World Eaters.
Holy moly. They're like space demons.
They're basically Chaos Space Marines, but the big guy in the middle, the giant demon, is their Primarch. His name's Angron.
Dude, that is so sick.
Yeah.
I love a big model around. Like, the sense of scale you can get from having one big model surrounded by some little ones like that. So is it just him, or is it him
it's him and all those guys. This is a rare box. You can see it's selling for we're on eBay right now, and it's $260 plus another $40 for shipping.
Yeah, and this one's $388.
Yeah. I got it for about $100 less than that first one. I paid like right at $200 for it.
Okay.
That was basically my Christmas present for myself.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yep. I got myself some graded comics for Christmas. I got myself a Christmas gift for myself too.
Hell yeah, man. Sometimes you got to treat yourself, you know?
Yeah, man. Finish out the year, get that end of the year bonus. I said, well, I got to get some house stuff and maybe a couple of graded comics. I got a really awesome Cammy graded comic from Street Fighter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. Sick. Nice. And her new outfit, too.
When I get down there.
Her Street Fighter 6 outfit. Let me see if I can't find it. Yeah, man. Oh, wow. Look at all this graded shit, Steve.
Yeah,
holy
man.
Lord. There's a whole... the one I got is not nearly as spicy as some of these. Let me tell you. This is the one I got.
Oh, yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Classy picture.
Yeah, it's much classier than some of that other fucking face down ass up business. Like, nothing against it. I'll probably get it, but like, I'm just saying, as far as classy goes.
Right. Classy.
So, speaking of Warhammer, buddy, can I tell you how much I love that you were like, I got Rogue Trader, and I was like, fuck yeah, let me know what you think of it. And then next day you go, I think it's pretty good, but you know what it did? It made me want to play Baldur's Gate 3, so I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3. Yep. Buddy, that happens to me all the time, where I'll start playing something and then be like, oh, this just makes me want to play something like this that's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, nothing against Rogue Trader. Like, it seems like a very cool game, CRPG. Mm-hmm. It feels a lot more in line with Baldur's Gate 2 to me than like.
Yeah, it feels...
if that makes sense.
Baldur's Gate 3 is definitely the next step forward for that sort of genre of role-playing game. Whereas, you know, Pillars of Eternity, I would say even Divinity, which Larian makes the Divinity games, right?
Yep.
And I would say the Pathfinder games and Rogue Trader, which were made by the same studios, Pathfinder and Rogue Trader,
Owlcat Studio. Yep.
Yeah, they are very in line with the more, you know, 90s CRPG Baldur's Gate feel.
Yeah, Icewind Dale, kind of lineage of game. Like, the dialogue is super similar. Even the way, like, the characters interact in combat feels very similar to Baldur's Gate 2 to me. And this is not a complaint. Like, I think that game is going to be fun. It seems like it's packed to the gills with lore for the Warhammer universe, which is
there's a lot of
always
text.
Good for me. Yeah, that's fine with me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like reading about that stuff. So, but yeah, Baldur's Gate 3, man. Whoo! I've been having fun. I just want to recount.
Please do.
If it's okay with you, some of the adventures that have happened to me.
So listen, buddy. The one thing I want to tell you is I fully plan on getting a Baldur's Gate fully. You know, at some point. And I would love for me, you, and Will to play a game. We're going to make that all happen one day. But don't worry about spoiling anything, because I got some shit on my list I got to take care of.
Oh, sure. You know what I mean? The spoilers that I'm going to talk about are so unbelievably light.
And the other thing is with how many different paths and decisions there are, like, it's hardly a spoiler, I think.
Absolutely so many different ways to play it. So, you know, you and I had gotten to a certain point where we had to rescue this druid.
Yes.
Who was going to come save, like, the village of peaceful people. Well, I got to that druid. He's, like, in the middle of this goblin encampment. And you're able to just kind of waltz in here because you're able to kind of bluster your way through with the mind flayer shit.
Uh-huh.
But when you get to him... Okay, so when you walk in... He's, like, in a jail cell, and there's these two little shithead goblin kids that are just pelting him with sharp rocks. And there's, like, an adult goblin who's, like, overseeing the whole thing, like, approving. And so I walk up to them and immediately assert my dominance and say, you need to let this druid out of the cage. I'll take care of it. And they open the cage, and he comes out, and immediately he's like, all right, let's go. Thanks for getting me out. We're going to fucking kick some ass now.
Uh-huh.
You have a choice. And I'm like, all right, cool. And the kids immediately, we go to combat. The kids run like they're the first to go. They dash for the exit. because they're trying to alert people because we're off kind of in the side, like these warg pens. And so my first action is to like chase these kids down. My healer goes running around the side and blasts one of them with a fireball and gets him. My warrior has to like dash because she's in a bad position. She dashes up to him. I use my action surge to kill him. So no problems there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then my bard steps up, and this motherfucker plays this shit. And everybody in the party just starts getting buffed, dude.
Wait a second.
So fucking sick.
Wait, does he really play fucking Iron Maiden or not? Am I
in my head he does.
Okay. Shit. That would be awesome if you could. That's like back in the day when we would be playing Final Fantasy 14 and Jeff was a bard, and I would just be walking around fucking Limsa Lominsa, and I'd hear Take on Me playing somewhere and be like, who's playing Take on Me? And it's Jeff. Creepy peeper following me playing Take on Me on the loot.
So like that was really fantastic, and that fight was really fun. It's real dynamic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My rogue is fighting kind of this running battle with this other goblin, and it's back and forth. I'm getting the environment involved. Like there's a grease stain on the floor. I lure one of the goblins over to it and set it on fire, make him explode, and end up winning. And it was this really gratifying fight. It was just so fun to do.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and then a little later we walk up to another fight where like the druid's basically like, where you have to fucking, you know where I'm going, where this druid's like, you have to take out the goblin leadership. That's the only way that's gonna work. And so I've figured out ways to take out two of them. The third one, there's really no kind of way around it. We're gonna have to fight him. But I have like I put my bard into position. There's a chasm, right?
Uh-huh.
And I start playing death. And right when it hits the this thunder move where it pushes all these goblins into the chasm, and they immediately die to these giant spiders that are down there.
Uh-huh.
And we turn around and gang up on the big cheese.
Wait, hold on a second. Can I put a pause on this real quick? So you threw them in a chasm, and then there were spiders down there that immediately started attacking them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, this goblin encampment, they're kind of set up on, like, a second level of, like, these tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of throw prisoners down there if they don't have any more use for them and like stuff like that.
Like the Rancor pit.
Mm-hmm. So there's ways to knock them into these chasms, and the spiders just immediately rip them to shreds. There's not they don't really hold up against them. But
dude, that's awesome.
Okay, yeah, because there's so many times where you can you can try to brute force it and just beat them all if you can. But my party takes a beating still in like some of the smaller engagements.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm not playing on like hard difficulty or anything like that, but it's still pretty challenging.
I think that game's easier
the more you go.
Well, it's any RPG, especially if you put the time into leveling and stuff, does get, you know, a little easier. But yeah, that game is tough.
Another really fun thing that happened was I came upon like a special dagger just out in the wild, and it's just a dagger plus one, right? But there was like a cool little puzzle that I had Astarion deal with in order to figure out how to actually get the knife. And, you know, just going through kind of that stuff, finding it out in the world, just feels like it was just real fun. Felt like a really great implementation of like leveling up your character.
Right.
If that makes any sense, you know?
It reminds me, there was this random quest you could come across in the original Dragon Age. Right. It wasn't like part of a main story, or even it became a side quest, but it, you know, wasn't part of a side quest, where if you just did your job and really explored the map, you would basically find a giant hole in the ground that had a piece of meteorite in it that you could get. And then that opened up this whole side quest where you got a sword made out of that meteorite. It was really cool. Really cool. This sounds like that, but like even more involved, and you know, 15 years later or whatever since Dragon Age came out.
This was more of just a pretty straight ahead, like there's a stuck dagger. I don't really, you know, I won't get into specifics. My main guy, who's a drow bard, you know, I just found a drow blade for him to use.
And luckily, it's
not like a two-handed greatsword. It's got to be like a finesse weapon for him to use it. But so pretty fun, man.
How many hours would you say you're in it now?
According to my saves, it says like 15 or 16, but I've played way longer than that because I've had to go back to saves quite a few times in some of these fights.
Oh, yeah.
Where they don't go my way.
Yeah, man.
It's a game where you got to save. You really have to lean on your PC experience and save. Off.
Yeah, you remember how you used to make fun of how much I saved in Mass Effect 2? Nah, man. Mm-mm. Not this boy's P2. I'm not having my game ruined.
Nah, man. Nah, and I get it. Like, see, in those days, games were starting to just auto-save your shit every, like, 2 seconds anyway.
Yeah.
So that was... It felt like you were doing something that was a relic of the past, but... What's old is new again to Larian.
Just gonna keep saving. You give me the option to save.
Oh, I mean, I've saved a shitload now. Uh-huh. I'm on board. You know, got to do it.
Yeah, all it takes is one day when you sit down and put about 3 hours into Skyrim, and then your game crashes, and you lose all 3 hours. I'd be saving.
So yeah, like
call me
I
super
feel...
saver.
I feel like I'm getting towards the end of Act 1.
Okay.
And there was a point where I got to where I could have moved to a new area and it said, you might want to turn around and level up because if you go ahead, this next part's going to be, quote, bitterly difficult for your party, unquote. So I was like, let me turn around and do some more side stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I ain't moving yet.
I went around looking for some more stuff to do, and lo and behold, I have found it. So.
That's one of those things where when I saw that message and turned it back around about 40 hours later, the game would be like, hey, man, it's time.
Yeah, they give you two paths to get to, I guess, the end of Act 1. And so I'm going to explore this second path a good ways, and I don't want to... spoil the location because it's a pretty good reveal if you're a fan of Forgotten Realms.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I'm so glad you're digging that game, man. I can't wait. I mean, it may be once Will's kids are in high school, but one day you and him are gonna play Baldur's Gate 3 together, and I can't wait, man.
That will be fun.
I can't wait. I just hear the giddiness in his voice anytime somebody starts talking about it.
I've thought of ways that we would kind of have to play it.
Oh, yeah. See, that I think that'll be handy, too, having someone with some more hours under their belt, you know?
Right, yeah. And the way I was thinking we would do is let one person kind of, quote, drive for a little while, where that person kind of handles the conversations and... what we do, and the other two people are kind of just there to support that person, and then after a bit we'll switch to another person, you know, kind of let them drive for a bit. That's a good way, because it can get confusing quick if you've got three people all off doing their own thing, you know what I mean?
Yes, it can. I noticed that when you and I were playing, and it wasn't like to the point where it was distracting or it wasn't fun to play, but there's just
feels
so
overwhelming.
Much, yes, it feels overwhelming really fast because there's so much you can do in it.
Yeah, there's so much. And so that's one reason also why I felt like, fuck it, I'm just going to play through a single player of it, you know, just get real comfortable with the game. So when we do play multiplayer, I can have a better handle on what potentially could happen, you know.
How's Shadowheart doing, huh?
She's good. She's still in my party, man. I changed her to a command cleric as opposed to like a straight healer. So she's more battlefield manipulation now. Like she can target creatures, and the command spell comes with multiple different flavors. You can have people like just run away from you. You can have them drop their weapon. You can have them grovel. You know, multiple different things. I think there's like 6 or 7 different things she can do. And if she manages to get that off on something powerful, which it's usually about a one, it's like most of the things in this game feel like coin flips.
Right.
You know, you're either on the slightly on the good side of a coin flip or slightly worse.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so that can kind of be frustrating a little bit from time to time.
Like, yeah. When
you
want, like,
you hit a roll and you roll one, you're like, fuck.
That's the thing. I think it's so awesome that they leaned so hard into the Dungeons and Dragons of it all, right?
Me too. Me too. For better or worse. And that's and why the saves are so important. You know?
They are important. And I also feel like the rolls are more fun and less annoying in multiplayer than they are in the single player. You know what I mean? Because if I fuck up, Steve's next in line. He can go for it. You know, so on and so forth. But, yeah, the... I could see how over dozens and dozens of hours that shit could be frustrating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still fun. I get to talk to animals all the time. I'm not like a druid where I can just do that shit on the regular, but I make sure to cast it. I wake up, roll out of my bed, roll, do some stretches. Kick whoever is in there with me out.
Oh, wait, wait, hold. So, Skirt, hold on. You said whoever. Because last time I heard you had, what's her name?
Lazal.
Lazal. You and Lazal had, you know.
Yeah, man. We,
Not.
Hey, you know what I mean? We did a little.
Hey!
Yes. Still just with her, but, you know, I've started flirting a little bit with Shadowheart and Carlock a little bit. We'll see what happens, you know?
Carlock's cool.
Yeah, she's pretty badass. I was expecting to have to kill that person, and then turns out that
no,
it was
she's
all...
she's just a cool hot lady that you hang out with. I can't real
so
life
you,
be like
did
that.
You do her, did you do her
I
quest?
Tried, but she wouldn't let me.
Oh, okay. I'd like, I went and murdered those people who told me to go kill her. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And Baldur's Gate is a game that so far for me has been like a tech demo where I make a really cool looking character and play with them for about 3 hours. And then when I go back, I'm like, ooh, I want
to
do the character creator.
Back to
the old drawing board. You know what I mean?
That character creation is so satisfying. But I will say also the level up process is usually quite satisfying as well. There's lots of choices to be made every level, you know, between like new spells to learn. Mm-hmm. Or
so have you gotten to the point where you've been able to like cross class any yet?
I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't really have like a brain for multi-classing.
Me neither. You know? Sometimes it gets a little confusing for me.
Yeah, like I can understand certain things like there's probably ways for Asterion to like multi-class and get multiple attacks per turn kind of deal, but
there is a certain way like I like to like level up and grind levels and have overpowered characters in RPGs, but there's a certain level of like min-maxing that I'll hear people talk about doing in like Final Fantasy VI. I'm like, I don't even have it in me to do that, my dude. Good on you. I'm sure there's some of that. There's probably some crazy powerful Baldur's Gate builds where you multi-class and stuff, but...
Oh, I'm sure. Where people are like, easy, GG easy on like the hardest difficulty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's just so fun for me to just kind of sink in and not even about the combat, just like get into these conversations or situations where you have to make these decisions of how you're going to play it. And as a bard, dude, those situations usually come out in your favor.
How many different instruments did it give you the option?
There's a bunch. That's another fun thing. Like, of course I picked the lute because I'm a guitarist, but there's like 7 or 8 different musicians.
So could we play a four-player game where all of us were bards and we were the members of Tool?
Yeah, I bet there is, especially we could, you know, specialize.
Yeah.
You know, at the third level or whatever. So one of us could be like the damage bard.
I'm going to request the Luke the loot on that? Because I want to be Adam Jones.
That's
in Baldur's
fine.
Gate.
I'll be Justin. I'll be the bassist for this one. I'll have to figure out what the bass equivalent is in this game.
Well, and all we'll have to do to make your character look like him is we'll just take a picture of you and put it on the Baldur's Gate 3 subreddit and be like, hey, can somebody let us know how to make this guy in Baldur's Gate? For people that didn't know, the bass player for Tool and Steve share a bit of a resemblance. And it was only recently, like within the last couple of years, that I even noticed it. And I was like, well, wait a goddamn second. They both cut their hair around the same time, too, which is weird. I think Steve might be Justin Chancellor.
Oh, man, I wish. That dude rules. He's great, man.
Anyways, so I have been fucking around in an RPG as well, a turn-based RPG. Oh, feels like going home.
Both of us, man. Both of us.
Mm-hmm. So I was dual-wielding RPGs. I was playing... So I started, because I went and looked at my oldest save in Yakuza Like a Dragon, and it was in the beginning of September. I have been, quote-unquote, playing Yakuza Like a Dragon since the beginning of September. Now, obviously, I was playing it pretty hardcore. Spider-Man came out. I stopped playing Yakuza and played Spider-Man. And then I moved, right? But, you know, I have pretty consistently kept up with it, right?
Which is good. It's like, to do a game like that requires a good, you know, sense of discipline. Because you've got to come back to it, what would you say, about once a week?
Oh, yeah. Well, and the other thing is, man, this is my third time.
Exactly. You can't let the thread slip again, right?
So, like, it was a launch title on the Series X. That was the game I played on my Series X. And I put some time into it. And then maybe a year or so ago, Steve started playing it. So you know what I did? I picked it right back up. And then finally, this time, it was never because I didn't like the game. It was always because I dropped it for too long, and at some point in my brain and in reality, there's no going back.
Because there's too many weird systems mm-hmm. in some of these games to just kind of pick up a thread later and just, I don't know. It's probable you could do it, but at the same time, part of me is always just like, why not just start over, you know?
And so I am approaching the 90-hour mark in Like a Dragon.
Beautiful.
Yakuza 7. I'm in chapter 14 of 15. I'm certainly going to beat this one, I think, before Infinite Wealth comes out. There's no way I'm beating the in-between game before Infinite Wealth. But I did download it last night, so it's ready.
Are you planning on playing Infinite Wealth day one, or are you going to just let that hit when it hits?
It's already pre-ordered, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because I'm a guy who likes getting a good deal on a video game, but for my games, you know what I mean? I might not be playing you on day one, Infinite Wealth, but I want to support this franchise. I'm mm-hmm. buying it day one, so it's ready when I'm ready for it, right?
Yeah, I do that sort of stuff all the time, my man. I know exactly you know what
I
mean? That
like,
feeling.
I'm just, like, I get why people think video game stuff is so expensive, because it is. But when you have that studio that does it for you, right? Like for Steve, it's From. For me, it's the Yakuza studio. For Steve, you know, we don't just have one. Capcom is a big one for both of us.
Both of us.
Yeah. Like I like to support them, especially Yakuza, which even though it is growing in popularity, is still more of a niche series, right? It seems
Agreed.
Like it's hitting more and more mainstream, but I want them to keep making those games. And if that means I got to pay $30 more for the game on release date, so it's ready for when I'm ready to play it, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to do it on every game. You ain't going to see me doing that on fucking The Surge 2. I don't know. It's the first thing that came to my mind.
No. Man, it's going to be a packed early year. Oh, you know, I'm wanting to play Persona as well, but geez, just too much shit.
Yeah, man.
Now, have you 90 hours into Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about it?
the cast. It really does something for that game series to have a cast of characters that's with you for pretty much the entire ride. Right? Because Kiryu, Majima, whoever you might be playing in one of the older Yakuza games are all interesting characters, but to have those cast members, those party members, hanging out with you and shooting the shit and character developing, and then you have quests like for those characters specifically. The cast is great, considering how strong the two protagonists of the Yakuza games were before they decided to sort of restart with a new cast. They knocked it out of the park.
Right, yeah, because previous to this one, right, you had like six... or seven Yakuza games.
Seven Yakuza games that and spinoffs. Like, yeah.
That would have like pretty much the same characters rotating in and out. You'd get new people here and there.
But it was always Kiryu, and Majima is always going to be up to some
Kusei
shenanigans.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those other guys, Saijima, mm-hmm. those guys are always going to show up in those games for the pop. But in this game, they went with like... I want to say four, really, like those four main characters.
Well, as you keep going, you get more, and like each new. So there is one party member, right? Because Steve, I'm deep in the side content sauce on this. There is a party member that you only get if you completely beat the like business management minigame. She is an awesome party member. In fact, she's in my party right now, like currently. She'll probably be in my in-game party. But because she's an optional party member, she's not in any of the story cutscenes and stuff. So it's that sucks a little bit. But she's a, like, otherwise, the quests and stuff you do with her and for her are really cool. Now, you do get two other cast members later in the game, and they're fully developed too, and
just as much developed. Yeah. As that's really awesome, you know, because a lot of times these games, like, I'm not really like singling out Final Fantasy VII necessarily, like,
but
OG,
go ahead,
but you could get some characters late in the game, and they were fun to play with. But
who knows a shit about Vincent? Not me, Vincent Valentine. That's who I should have told, like, that guy. I should have said, you look like Vincent Valentine. He would have been like, you stay right here. I'm going to go get you some free Final Fantasy cards. And I'll be like, no, man, I got an agenda.
Yeah, it's not easy to introduce characters late in a story that you're going to add to your party and have them be like.
Well, the cool thing is so they start showing up in cutscenes and big story moments. And never once was I like, oh, I bet you that person's going to be a party member. And then sure enough, they end up being a party member. And last night when I was streaming, I beat a fairly huge part of the game, right? There was a huge, I don't want to give it away. You know what I'm talking about. But there's been moments in that game that have legitimately surprised me on stream, right?
Yeah.
And I beat one of those moments. And then I'm not joking. I sat there and watched, I think, a 40-minute cutscene.
You sure the hell did.
Because I would, like, be like, hey, guys, I'm not joking. This cutscene's still going.
You were like every now and again, just like, this is still going. Mm-hmm. It's still going. Buddy, and that is the crazy thing about those games. They will do that.
they will.
A couple times.
And so, like, you will go from the goofiest shit you've ever seen to the most melodramatic Japanese dudes talking about crime families for 40 minutes. And, like, it would cut away from one location. I'd be like, okay, it's going to let me play again. And then there would be a 10-minute cutscene in a completely different location with different characters. It just kept going. Yeah. I zoned out and then locked back in. It went on for so long.
Imagine like the movie Scarface, but like instead the scene where they chainsaw the guy in the basement. Mm-hmm. Before that, there's like 45 minutes of Al Pacino playing the crane game
and
out in front of
somebody's always smoking and somebody's always drinking out of a crystal glass with the big glass cubes, the big ice cubes in it.
Because he's been trying to win like a little bear for a little girl for like the side quest, you know?
Oh my God. Oh, now I'll tell you this. I'm, you know, we talk about, I'm someone who likes to do all the side quest stuff.
That's I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question. How do you feel about the side stuff, your activities in this game versus, like, let's say Yakuza 0, because you and I both think that's, right, like the pinnacle. So
far. I'll go ahead and say this. Unless this game takes a huge nosedive in the last two chapters, it's my number two Yakuza game behind 0. However, the side activities in this game fucking slap, my dude. Mm-hmm. There's a whole kart racing mini game that's fully featured. It's like Mario Kart, where you pick up items, but you're racing against the type of characters you would think you would be racing against in Yakuza. Right?
Right.
Weird, right? There is the business management. Now, business management does not hold a candle to managing the hostess club, but it's close. And it's fun.
Close.
You
okay.
do like board meetings and shit that like, and it, if anybody's listening to this and you decide to start playing Like a Dragon, and in the first few chapters, you're like, fuck, I never have enough money for anything I want in this game. You're right. Right. You don't get to the business management and then don't do anything for 2 weeks, but play business management until you beat it. And then you'll never worry about money in that game again.
Swimming in yen.
Yeah. You, my dudes are so kitted out. I looked it up because I wanted to know how far I've taken this. I looked up on the Yakuza Reddit and I found a thread where people were talking about what level their Kasuga was at the end of Like a Dragon. And most of the time it was in the 55 to 60 range, Steve. My Kasuga is level 76. Steve. I have been doing nothing but popping rare achievements for doing shit you should not spend your time doing in video games.
Ah.
But this is the one Yakuza game where I have taken short breaks from it, right? I maybe played it twice during the whole time I was playing Spider-Man 2. I would be like, I need to play a little Yakuza so I don't completely lose it, right? But like, it also hasn't felt so daunting as a Yakuza game can feel towards the back end because I had sure. those breaks. And now, like, I'm duty stomping everything. I have to imagine my time with that game's probably coming to an end. As I look through the achievements, most of them seem to be secret, which are usually story-based.
Story, yep.
And there's a couple of side quest ones that I still need to wrap up that they just haven't let me wrap up yet. So
You probably could get through with that this week if you you decided to spend your evenings with that.
Yeah, it's probably what I'm... when we get done recording this, we'll probably go up those goddamn stairs, fucking have a snack, play some Yakuza.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be able to play Baldur's Gate straight, I don't think.
No.
Like, I love that game, but, like, it's different. Like, I need to have something that's more tactile sometimes, yeah. like, in terms of, like, immediacy to, like, combat and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, and so, also something that, like, with any RPG, any single RPG, and I can't tell you what the time limit is, Steve, but there's some weird internal time limit that I have in my head where I'm like, okay, I have an hour to play a video game. I'm not playing Yakuza.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's not enough time. An hour?
Because you may end up spending the whole fucking hour watching a cutscene.
Yeah, exactly. or I got to go craft equipment. You know what I mean? Or I got to go to a bunch of restaurants or sing karaoke.
It's very true.
Like, there has to be a certain amount of time I have available to play an RPG.
Right.
Now,
I'm a sicko. I'm thinking about my other game that I'm going to start being The Witcher 3.
Steve, buddy.
I don't
buddy,
think I'm going
to
do that.
Don't do that. Wait on me on that, okay?
Okay, I will.
Can we
will.
Wait post maybe March for Witcher 3?
Yeah,
you
can.
Know, let me get past Final Fantasy because I'm also playing Final Fantasy VII Remake again.
Yeah, true.
Wesley without the bully. You know what I mean? Paul's the not-so-bully. I'm a bully,
right.
Wesley. I should watch your ass telling me what to do. Use my loud voice. That's it, buddy. You want to call it for the end of the night?
Yeah, man. Good times. I'm glad we got to record tonight, man. It's fun.
Me too, buddy. So leave us a review if you haven't already. We give stuff away. We're actually close.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, let me see. Let me see. How close are we to giving away a gift card? Da, da, da. Why didn't I have this pulled up already? This is not prepared.
It's okay, man. While you're looking that up, I'm just going to go ahead and say that, you know, the Packers made the playoffs.
One more time.
And that's pretty awesome. Don't expect them to win, but just valuable reps for this young team. So excited.
Yeah, buddy, the tone of voice you had talking about the Packers at the beginning of this season versus now is completely different. Love to see it.
A long way.
Love to see it. You know who's not on those flight logs? Me and Steve. Other guy might be, though. Could probably not, but it's possible, I guess. Fucking maybe Epstein-like wrestling. Anyways, we're four away from giving away a gift card. We're at 56 reviews. Come on, guys.
Excellent. After so much cajoling by you. God.
And then I started trying to be cool about it. Just be like, yeah, leave us a review, whatever.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, hey, so whatever. And it still didn't really work. Do it!
Please!
And check out myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. It's got links to all our social media and stuff. And we'll see you guys soon. Next week,
right.
In fact.
My bard's playing us out.
That's right.
Bro. Fuck yeah, man.
Awesome.
That was awesome.